Chapter 14. "Why can't you just do your hoodoo when he's asleep?" I asked Horace, as I helped him with this harness-like contraption, like he was Tom Cruise about to do a Mission Impossible. Which, technically speaking, he kinda was. In order to help Jenner without destroying his mind, I would distract the koala man while my ridiculous friend lowered himself from the ceiling like a spy so we could take a read of the archivist's head without him knowing. This way we could avoid any and all triggers that could set off the curse trap. I knew the koala man was suspicious by nature, and he would have a million and two questions as to why Horace would want to give him a brain scan, so it was best if he wasn't aware of the process. But why he had to go through so much trouble when we could wait for everyone to go to sleep still didn't make sense to me. "The enchantment only works on conscious thoughts, so Jenner doesn't accidentally dream one of his triggers and kill himself," Horace explained, as he fiddled with the buckle of his old merc suit. "That would be a very unsubtle way to enchant someone with a curse that forbids them from thinking too hard about a specific thing. In this case, it's a person, which I'm still waiting to hear an explanation for." "In time, dude, I promise," I placated, and fixed a twisted strap for him. But back to the particulars of the enchantment. Why bother to make it subtle anyway if the goal is to keep the person from figuring out something about one of the triggers? Dead men tell no tales, that sort of thing.
"These types of magics aren't supposed to be used for assassinations or anything," Horace corrected. "They're meant to harbor a secret, yes, but based on what Jenna was able to tell me in his note, he thinks this enchantment is generationally imposed on all the Aang folk."
"What are you saying? All Aang people are born with the same enchantment already in place?" I asked.
"Seems like it," he shrugged. "This enchantment isn't designed to cause mass genocide,
but it could," I interrupted, as my temper started to flare.
"Well, theoretically,"
Horace allowed with a nod of his black feathered head.
"But that would be baseless and go against the enchantment's nature, which would be to protect the mind from knowledge designed to cause harm."
"This seems heavy-handed for what I think the author of the enchantment had in mind as harmful knowledge," I scoffed. And I crossed my arms over my chest, as Horace looked himself over in the floor-length mirror on the wall. This room wasn't exactly an armory, but it had some decent gear the Falcon Man could work with.
"You really need to tell me what that means," he said,
and nailed me with a rare grave expression in his gold-green gaze.
"If I'm going to be rummaging around in Jenna's mind, where there are potential traps for me to trigger, I need to know what those are."
"All right," I said, and held up my palms. I didn't want to say anything until I ran it past Jenner. But I am almost positive I can get Amaya out of her debt with the Order. The idea is to prove someone else is the prophetess. And I think I know who it actually is.
"Miss Veli?" he questioned when he pieced it together. "You think she's the prophetess? How in all the dark hells did that happen?"
I'm still trying to figure out the details, and a big part of that was wanting to see if Jenner could help me confirm a few things, I explained. "And I guess some of those things have been confirmed just by the fact we are in this mess to begin with," he snorted. "What, you mean the mess where we have to stop our friend's head from exploding if he thinks too hard or for too long about Vel?" I snarked back.
"I highly doubt it'll explode, but could you imagine?"
Horace shuddered before he tugged his old mercenary hood down over his face, so we would have an easier time hiding in the shadows. "I'd rather not," I said, as I led us out into the quiet corridor on the second floor.
"Okay, so you head back down to the library, and I'll find my way in through the top," he said.
And even though he was fully masked, I could see the corners of his eyes bunch up with his characteristic smile. "Hurry," I said over my shoulder. "I don't know how long I can keep him talking without him getting suspicious."
"I'll do my best, Chief," he said.
And then we separated on Operation Debug Jenner. Even though a small pinch of anxiety gripped my gut at the idea of failure, I was actually a tad bit excited I was teaming up with my trusty second once more for a good old-fashioned caper. We worked well together, and I had more faith than I did worry that we would succeed in saving our friend and ultimately get to the bottom of this. I inhaled deeply and paused at the doors to the library so I could center myself. All was silent in the corridor when I glanced around, and I released the breath I was holding as I pushed open the door.
"Ah, Mr. Alex," Jenner smiled without looking up from what he was reading. "Finally took the time to come talk to me, eh?"
One of my steps faltered on my way up to his large circular desk, and I almost lost my composure right away before I realized he now didn't even remember me visiting him the first time.
Yeah, sorry about that, I said, and cleared my throat.
I would have come sooner, but...
Don't fret, lad,
the koala man said, and took a sip of brandy from his glass.
Although it is rather late to go over all of the things we need to address in your letter and then some.
We can catch up with all of that tomorrow, I assured him. And out of the corner of my eye, I finally spied the black-clad Falcon Man poised in the dusky rafters of the library. I actually came to talk to you about something else. I trailed off as I tensely watched Horace start to lower himself, Ethan Hunt style, over the circular desk where Jenner was sitting smack dab in the middle.
"Yes, what is it, Alex?"
he asked, and finally looked up from the tome he was archiving with a kind but concerned expression on his wizened face.
"If this is about Rylan, you didn't have to send him here as a punishment. He knows he's sorry, but having him do menial tasks, despite them being torturously boring for him, might not be the discipline you're looking for."
"What?" I cocked my head, and then I followed the koala man's gaze to where my son was curled up on one of the stuffed chairs with the tray of empty dishes at his feet. Jenner snickered and then raised his glass in a motion that had some of the liquid sloshing up over the rim.
"He's also a clever one, and I think he distracted me with the brandy so I would stop having him label things."
"Right," I said, and hastily picked up the threads of the narrative Jenner already thought I was going to tell him. And as Horace continued to lower himself toward the top of the koala man's furry gray ears, I decided to roll with it.
"Yeah, I came to talk to you about what you think I should do about him."
"I thought you might,"
he said with a pleased sigh as he stroked his chin, and I was curious as to where we were heading with this.
"I was a father once, did you know?"
At this, I tore my eyes away from Horace's balancing act and stared at my koala butler in shock.
"I thought you never married," I said, when I recalled Jenner telling us about how old Tovish was the main one who suffered from the great exile of Aang by having to leave behind a wife and two sons.
Apparently that had been a lie.
"Did, but she died bringing my second born into the world," he sighed, and uncorked the brandy bottle. "My sons decided to stay where their mother was buried."
I'm sorry," I said, and helped the inebriated man pour more alcohol into his glass, even though it was probably a bad idea. "You never talk about them." Horace continued to inch downward as I took a seat in one of the stools across from Jenner.
"They were good lads,"
the koala man said, and took another swig.
"Completely different from me. They preferred to work in the stacks organizing the rows instead of in the record halls. When the uprising threatened to scatter us, Aang folk, they wanted to stay behind and fight. The youngest, Caleb, died in battle. My oldest, Corin, was hanged for treason."
"Cornelius." I trailed off and stopped the koala man from taking another obliterating sip of spirits. "I'm so sorry."
"Don't be,"
he said with a weary smile.
"You've done well to fill some of that void."
"Oh," I said, and I was slightly taken aback at the sincerity in Jenner's drunk gaze.
"That is why you have come to me now with whatever ruse this is,"
he continued. And my heart froze in my chest at the same time as Horace froze a fraction above the tops of Jenner's furry ears.
"Ruse?" I asked, to try to keep him talking.
"Yes," he said. "You are going to try to disguise the fact you want my advice about Rylan and try to talk about something else before changing the subject."
"Of course," I said,
and out of the corner of my eye, I visibly saw Horace relax up there in his harness. How silly of me.
Yes, silly.
Jenner tisked fondly and gripped my wrist.
You know you can always talk to me about anything.
I smiled and shook my head. It really was true, and I was glad to be able to spend time around the old conjurer once again. Now that you mention it, I really do need advice about that kid. I think he needs something more than just extra chores and labeling your archives. He'd do these anyway if we just asked, because he's just like that. Both the koala man and I glanced over at the chair where Rylan was still curled up and oblivious to the world. He snored lightly, and we both grimaced at the trail of drool on his cheek.
Yes. He needs something to give him some more purpose and teach him discipline at the same time,
Jenner mused, as he stroked his scruffy chin.
Have you ever thought of the academy?
Horace's harness lines squeaked slightly when he jolted briefly in shock, like the very mention of his alma mater was a careless barb thrown at him, and Jenner's sensitive ears twitched as he looked behind him for whatever made the noise.
Ahem!
I abruptly cleared my throat and glared at the Falcon Man in warning.
But I thought the academy was only for people who have magic.
Not necessarily, Jenner said.
And once he started to tweak his monocle, I knew we were in the clear, because I'd broached a topic the koala man was interested in.
The Academy houses all sorts of colleges. The one you are thinking of that Horace and Anwar went to was the College of Magics, but there are other types of learning that take place for all sorts of Aventolians.
Where is the Academy? I asked. I'm assuming Aelum?
That is where most of the magic colleges are. But for academics concerning animal husbandry or woodworking, or basically any sort of labor or handcrafts, you'll want the academy on lean, he informed.
And then he spun around on his stool, jumped off, and marched toward the bookcase behind him. My eyes flew wide, and I froze in shock just as Horace splayed out like a starfish so the koala man's ears didn't hit him when he executed that little maneuver. The Falcon Man frantically gestured at me and attempted to stop himself from spinning in a slow, counterproductive circle. But I didn't know what he expected me to do. So I merely poured myself a glass of brandy and took a gulp, because at least that helped make this shit show more entertaining.
Here, oops!
Jenner attempted to toss the stack of books he'd gathered in his search up on the desk, while also trying to get back up in his chair, but he and the books went flying. Mercedes, I grumbled, as I glanced up at the still, slowly spinning Horace. And then I hopped over the desk so I could simultaneously help the older man up properly and block his vision of the Falcon Man's rendition of Saya's chandelier.
Oh, thank you, lad,
Jenner said, and looked around for his monocle.
Have you seen... Ah, my gratitude.
I smiled when I handed him the eyepiece. And while he was busy cleaning it, I shot Horace a glare over my shoulder and mouthed an appropriate, "Get your shit together."
Now, where were we?
The archivist asked, once he was settled back up on his stool and started scrolling through the pages. I furtively eyed the Falcon Man, and from what I could tell, he'd steadied his rig enough to finally get down to business as long as Jenner stayed where he was. I was confident I could keep the little professor talking, so I rounded the desk and took my seat across from him once more. "You were telling me a little about the academies," I said, and saw Horace nod at me as he rubbed his hands together. "And maybe how Rylan might be a good fit for the one on lean."
"Ah, yes,"
he said, as his furry ears trembled with excitement.
"Our wayward Rylan. He does have an aptitude for hospitality and service, and his prior training under Lord Mech's house could give him an advantage."
"But you said he needs something more challenging," I pointed out. And I spied how Horace's glowing gold hands and eyes reflected off the decanter the brandy was in.
"That's true,"
the koala man said, and flipped through the pages as I inconspicuously moved the decanter to the floor.
"He seems to have a fondness for animals."
"He certainly tends to collect strays," I said, as I thought of both Crackers and Gelf.
and he expressed an interest in helping Rear prosper and Victory's foal whenever it's born.
So maybe animal husbandry,
Jenner said, as he flipped to the correct chapter. Horace attempted to smother the light as best as he could, but the golden light got brighter as the alchemist erected an isosceles diamond similar to the ones always hovering over characters in The Sims above the koala man's head.
So is there, like, a tuition fee for going to the academy? I asked, in order to keep Jenner focused on the book in front of him as Horace did his thing.
Well, he must be of an Asher family, and, of course, there are extra fees and such for his learning materials. But I'm pretty sure we have more than enough gold to cover anything the lad might need,
Jenner said as he immediately began tabulating all of the fees, and then some, based on how long those numbers were getting. Mercedes B. Even universities in this world seem to be outrageously overpriced and based on prestige. Didn't prestige mean something like deception in French? Whatever the case, I was glad I happened to be flush with gold, because even though Jenner's calculations took a good while, and he had to flip the paper over, the amount didn't even make a dent in Ithaca's stores. Forget about Icarian Estates and all of the gold the boarding services raked in. Ryland could be covered with just the cost of our Bumblebird honey enterprise alone. Are these numbers real? I asked, after I scraped my jaw off the desk.
I had a better chart thing composed for you somewhere, the koala man mumbled as he blinked his glassy eyes.
That's okay, find it later, I said hastily, so he wouldn't jump off the stool again and search for his spreadsheet. Then I pointed at an arbitrary symbol Jenner had scrawled and blurted, "But what does that mean?" Jenner sat back down and launched into explaining how the chart has a legend or something, and he began describing the meanings of each one in achingly precise details. Just what I needed for a second to check on the Falcon Man's progress. Horace wavered slightly, but when I glanced up, I saw he was still in the position I last saw him in, with his hands poised in front of Jenner's hovering Sims diamond. The diamond's gold hue flickered and dimmed in tandem with the alchemist's glowing palms and irises, as his concentration was threatened. But Horace held it together despite the droplets of sweat dripping off his brow. I eyed the droplets, and when one threatened to fall directly on top of one of the ink-smudged pages Jenner was reading, I raised my hand and subtly swiped it out of the air.
"What's that?"
Jenner looked up at me. Nothing, just a bug. Continue, I said, and smiled patiently, even though I felt like I was sweating bullets just like Horace. Suddenly, the diamond above Jenner's head turned an alarming shade of black.
"Velrala needs to do some dusting and tidying in here, I swear," he mumbled.
I'll tell her to get on it, I said, as my gaze flashed upward.
"Tell who?"
he suddenly asked sharply. And cracks of bright red shot through the obsidian diamond now between Horace's brightly glowing palms. There was no way Jenner shouldn't have been able to notice the light show above him, especially when Horace actually cried out like he was struggling. But the koala man kept his intense gaze on me as if we weren't even in the same plane of existence as the alchemist. I faltered. And I couldn't seem to tear my eyes away from what was taking place above us as the Falcon Man battled an unknown force.
Gah!
Horace twisted and writhed in his rope harness, but he kept his grip and finally nodded in my direction. I took this to mean he had regained control, and I turned my attention back to Jenner, who was still trying to stare holes into my skull.
"Well,"
he snapped a little more grouchily than usual. And if I didn't have a visual representation of the inner workings of his mind, I might have been annoyed or put off by his waspishness. As it was, I could see the pinched look around the older man's eyes and mouth. And I could tell he was uncomfortable, because that was the face I made whenever I had a pounding headache. "Well, what?" I asked in a neutral tone of voice, so I could work my way back over to his good side.
"You said you would tell her to get right on it,"
he reiterated impatiently. And from my peripheral, I saw a flash of red, which told me the cracks in Jenner's mind diamond were getting wider.
"Who is her, and what are you telling her?"
I took a breath and was about to tell him an altered version of the previous conversation so it would keep his mind trap triggers at bay. But before I could, I spotted the shimmer of something that spelled our downfall. Apparently, the stress of the task had Horace not only sweating, but molting as well, because a singular black feather, from his crest, was inches away from drifting down into Jenner's direct line of sight. The violent red tendrils wrapped around Jenner's mind like barbed wire, pulsed in a way that told me the barrier of his sanity was just about to break. And like a pressurized chamber opening up to the vacuum of space, my time-trans power exploded out of me.